Pensacola's first choice for morning news, traffic, sports, and talk. The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Good morning, Pensacola.
In the faith-based community, in the minority community. We went to Brownsville the first week of January, a community that had been hit hard by Hurricane Sally. We had done a feeding drive there, so we had already had partnered with a church. That was the pilot program that we ran there in the first week of January. And since then, we've done 215 churches. We've vaccinated 70,000 people. In fact, the White House reached out to us about 2 weeks ago, and we gave a presentation because Florida has been the model for how you partner with the faith-based community. And in fact, they're trying to roll that out in other places and other states that are having significant hesitancy in the minority community.
So this is Jared Moskowitz. I thought Jared was leaving or had resigned, or I thought something, but he's still there. Or maybe he was there and just came back for the press tour. I don't know. For Governor DeSantis talking about the outreach to black and, as they say, black and brown folks, but, you know, Hispanics and African Americans. And Brownsville was really the first place they did that with the church. And they're back to not, you know, them specifically for this, but back again today with a walk-up clinic 11 to 2 today. And now 50-year-olds can get the vaccine. I'm probably going to swing by there after the press conference with the mayor that's back in person at the White House at City Hall this morning. I'll go and see if the line's not too long. You know, I'm now eligible, so I'm definitely going to get it. I don't really care whichever one you want to give me. I kind of prefer the Moderna, but I don't, you know, if they've got the J&J, which that's not what they're doing there today. The Pfizer, fine. Just the cold storage is the only question I have for that one. But any is better than none, in my opinion. I do kind of like the one shot. The fact that you get it, you don't have to go back again. But yeah, they have really, see, the reason I bring this up is because not only is Florida again leading the nation in how to do this, it's so wild. I mean, it's like, how many times can you be right about this stuff? Anyway, it's you know, we're tired of winning in Florida. It's a little bit of a Trumpism. But Governor DeSantis is doing so many things right and reaching out to underserved. And when they talk about underserved communities like African-Americans, it's not that we're not trying. It's that there's two problems. Number one is when you develop a program, you tend to develop it based on thinking like you think. And for middle-class white people, that's different than lower-class black people. It just is, okay? Well, Andrew, you can't say that. Sure, I can. It's not. Your like, political correct sensibilities have gotten you in the problem of you can't just talk about the truth. The way middle-class white people think about things is often different than the way poor black people think about things. It just is. And the way poor white people, I mean, you shouldn't have to say that. It's just obvious. But what he's getting at, and what has been done so well by this administration, who gets accused of being racist when it's convenient to make that allegation. It's a ridiculous claim, but it gets made when it's convenient. Over the anti-rioting legislation. It's racist. No, it's just against violence. But anyway, back to the point, is they're really doing some innovative things in trying to get shots in arms among black citizens in particular.
We've knocked on 35,000 doors by the end of today. We will have knocked on 35,000 doors across the state in the minority community. We're doing about 9,000 doors a day now, trying to get people appointments by going to their home. And in some areas, we're even offering the vaccine at the door. We're piloting that to see if that's successful. And so all these different outreach efforts, all these different pockets, each one obviously, you know, helps try to increase shots in arms.
When you do the home or the when you knock on people's doors, what's the response rate been of people who ultimately want to get the vaccine?
So we're finding it's about a 10% conversion rate, right? It's not. You know, and that's why it's hard to do these things as far as, you know, trying to with speed, right? This is something that is just another tool in the toolbox. It's not going to obviously increase shots in arms tremendously, but there are people obviously in the minority community that have transportation issues. They might not have a car or they share a car. There's education issues, so when we come to the door, we educate them about the program. There's historical hesitancy issues. And sometimes we were just we find out that, you know, they were just waiting because they were waiting for somebody else in their family to be eligible.
So 10% is not a huge success rate, but it's something. And when you're talking about these walk-up sites where you don't have to book it, therefore you don't have to have, you know, online access and, you know, all the transportation is getting to your local church that you're accustomed to getting to anyway, they're getting like 40 to 50% of those are being shots in arms for minority citizens. And as Jared Moskowitz explained there, you've got tech issues, you've got transportation issues, you've got historical hesitancy because of things like the Tuskegee Airmen experiment. I mean, you know, the Tuskegee syphilis experiments. You've got things that make black people wary. And so trying to raise, especially because they are the most vulnerable, because they work in more vulnerable positions, they typically have poor health care, they typically have poor health conditions to begin with, all of these reasons that vaccinating them is uniquely challenging and uniquely important. And we're working on it. The White House has basically called the Florida and said, hey, can you, what are you doing? Because we need the help. Good. Let us run some more stuff there, Joe. 616 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. David Salen has traffic on the fives.
And just seeing the front gate of NES Pensacola showing delays backed up around the area of Central Avenue. So this is going to take probably 10 minutes extra to get you on a base this morning. Back gate is flowing smoothly, as well as Gulf Breeze Parkway and Navarre Parkway. Although, actually, now through Windhaven Beach, as you're going eastbound, I am noticing a delay right in front of the Hideaway Retreat. It's looking like there's an accident there, so we'll keep an eye on that. Again, that's through Windhaven Beach, Highway 98, right in front of the Hideaway Retreat going eastbound, noticing these delays. Avalon Boulevard and Garcon Point Bridge, though, are flowing smoothly there. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
So if you had a plane at your disposal, what would you do with it? Look, we all remember when we were turning 16, first starting to learn how to drive, and then eventually we either got the family car, or maybe you got your own car, and how that changed your life, right? Like, the way you thought about transportation, travel, where you could go was completely different. Well, I want you to take that next step, and I want you to think about what would you do with your own plane? But you don't have to buy a plane to get there. What you do is you call Captain Eric at Southeast Air Shuttle, and you have him take you, because he can take you anywhere, basically, within the Southeast United States. If you need to go to a big city, if you need to go to a regional, like a smaller city, because they've a lot of times they've got these small airstrips that you can go to, he can take you there. And you don't have to go through the hustle and bustle of the big hub and all of the traffic and all of that. If you're wanting to go on a weekend getaway, you can do that. If it's a business trip, you can do it. If it's more than one, you know, you got to go here, then here, then here, and then come back home for dinner, he can do that. That's the point. Start thinking about what you could do if you had access to your own plane, and that's what Southeast Air Shuttle can do for you. They're your no-line airline where you fly when you want, not when you're told. Find out more about what they can do for your freedom of mobility. FlySoutheast.com.
Like, we just want to come out here and party.
This is not a typical spring break crowd.
Miami Beach City Commissioners held an emergency meeting.
It looked like a rock concert.
Miami Beach Mayor Dan Gelber.
People started to rage through the streets, you know, running for their lives. Can't have that in a city. That can't be a nightly event.
Good Lord, it's like Portland. Sorry, I couldn't resist. You know, Portland's back to rioting. Portland is the least covered ongoing, like, Guinness World Record surviving riot in probably the world and certainly in American history. Although I guess it took time off for good behavior a little bit in the winter. But, man, you know, it's like it doesn't even exist. The Media Research Center did a study, and ABC, NBC, CBS Nightly News, no coverage. Doesn't exist. Didn't happen. Nobody believes it. 621 Cooper Davis, who's been there not that long ago, was actually in that city in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. Coop?
Indeed. Andrew, you played some of the clips there. I was going to go ahead and follow up on that. Just some more info here. Spring break, not going anywhere near as planned for many, as Miami Beach is extending curfews to curb rowdy crowds. NBC's Kerry Sanders reports.
That curfew begins at 8 p.m. on Thursday evenings and runs through Monday morning at 6 a.m. Miami Beach, of course, is an island, and so to control the crowds, they're closing the bridges and causeway to the island except for residents on those dates.
Miami Beach had to declare a state of emergency Saturday night because of the large crowds. Police had to use pepper balls against groups of partiers to get them to disperse after the curfew went into effect. And I'm reading that they're not necessarily tying this to spring break.
Yeah, that's kind of what I had heard, too, was that it's like spring break slash, hey, let's go to Miami.
Yeah.
You know, so everybody and their brother wants to go down there and party and have a good time. And there's not necessarily college students, just people wanting to go take advantage of the open society.
Well, an article I was just reading, I believe, out of, I think it was Yahoo News. There was an article posted about how there have been as much as 1,000 arrests, mm-hmm. a pretty big uptick since February.
And I thought I saw, and forgive me for saying I thought I saw it as a news item, but I think NBC this morning was saying that out of the 900, they were reporting like 80 people had guns on them.
Right.
That seems like a really high percentage for spring breakers.
Right. So. Exactly. And they're, you know, they're saying it's not necessarily just college kids.
Right. Exactly.
That they are arresting. So one cruise ship company says its ships will start sailing to Caribbean destinations again. Royal Caribbean announced Friday that the Adventure of the Seas vessel sails to the Bahamas starting June 12th. Cruise ship will spend 7 nights on cruises to the Bahamas and Cozumel this summer. Adult passengers must show proof of a COVID-19 vaccination, Andrew. Those 18 and younger must test negative in order to sail. Company CEO Michael Bailey says those conditions may get readjusted as time goes on, but that for now, the company cruises will be just for those adults who have been fully vaccinated. And Florida Republican Senator Rick Scott pushing President Biden to visit the southern border to bear witness to the growing migrant crisis there. On Friday, Scott made his own visit to an Arizona border area with that state's Governor Doug Ducey. Scott indicates in a newsletter that he is troubled by what he saw. He blames the Biden administration for pushing, quote, open borders and amnesty policies. Scott also said it's time for the president to come to the southern border and, quote, see the crisis he has created.
I could not believe Mayorkas yesterday, DHS secretary. He was on all the shows. The border's closed. The border's closed. The border's closed. You could have said that earlier, louder, but also it's not true. But then also, like, saying we're going to look back and view this as success. If this is your picture of success, what would failure be? It's just unbelievable.
Maybe turning it around success.
you got to cause the crisis so you can look like the victors when you come in and do, oh, look, we're going to complete the border wall. Hey, good plan.
Right.
Right. Not that's not what they're going to do. But all right, Coop, thanks so much for the update. 625 News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Davis Allen has traffic on the fives.
And Andrew, we do have an accident on Highway 98. This is in Navarre going eastbound right in front of Plantation Oaks Drive is where I'm noticing this delay. Backing up delays all the way to Whispering Pines Boulevard, so use caution over there as we are seeing some extended delays now. Traveling in the westbound direction is flowing smoothly. Also, if you're getting on Garcon Point Bridge going northbound, it appears to be looking a little slow until you get over the hump. It then clears up on Avalon Boulevard the rest of the way to I-10. Southbound on Garcon is checking and clear, and there are still delays at the front gate of NES Pensacola, and we're noticing these delays backed up to about the Wings and Things sewing shop, so just use caution and expect those delays there. I'm Davis Allen with the traffic on the fives.
So when you got into business, did you get into business because you wanted to help serve people by providing HVAC services? Did you get into business because you wanted to provide dental services or because you wanted to provide lawyer services? Yeah, right? Whatever you got into business is what you got into it to do. Did you get into it to do, like, HR and payroll? to think about which benefit package do I want to offer my employees and how can I really understand the insurance? No. I mean, look, if you like that stuff, God bless you. Okay, that's wonderful. Most employers, they want to pull their hair out having to deal with all that stuff, right? I mean, it's just not fun. And it's certainly distracting you from your primary mission of doing whatever it is you got into business to do. Well, there are some folks who actually their business, they got into business to do the stuff that you don't want to do, but you got to do. That's Torgerson Causey. This is what they specialize in. They specialize in employee benefits plans, health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, HR tools and resources, payroll. We've recently started using them here at News Radio, and they gave us options, which is nice. It's always nice to have options. So what they'll do is they'll look over what you're doing right now, and they'll tell you whether they can save you money, what options they can give you. And look, if they can't, they can. I mean, you know, they'll tell you that too. But it will take off of your plate the need to do that stuff you don't want to do so that you can put back on your plate the stuff that matters to you. Torgerson Causey, 20 years in business here locally, 433-9996. That's 433-9996 or online at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
Concern right now is keeping everything in front, not giving up a three, but most important, I know this coaching staff is telling them, when this shot goes up, everybody has to get a body on body and to get this defensive rebound.
Here's Mann. He's trying to hunt down that three. This is for the tie. It rims out. Florida chasing it down. Lewis for the tie.
Good, well, semi-good looks, and nothing could go down to go into overtime. Florida loses as the number, what were you guys, a 7 seed?
We were a seven seed. Yes.
After Oral Roberts had beat Ohio State University as a 2 seed. 15th seed into the Sweet 16 for the second time ever?
I'm certain that this is the second time
ever. So if they advance, they're the first in the Elite Eight ever, is that right?
That's right.
Wow. Of course, Illinois also lost. We don't need to dwell on that. This, you know, if you didn't put your bracket in the shredder, God bless you, because there's none of us did any good this year. It's just going to be one of those years where you're hoping for something. And, you know, if they beat you, you might as well root for them, right? Maybe.
You know more because you listen on the weekends. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Whenever you hear the old school rap, I just about guarantee you that, well, one of three things. It's either Marco Rubio, or it's Alex Andrade, or it's Davis is just taking a moment of personal privilege. And all are fine. All are perfectly acceptable. But it is Alex Andrade at this particular moment. State Representative District 2, southern half of Escambia County, plus Gulf Breeze, plus the beach. Alex, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. And I always love the comparison to Marco Rubio. It's a fun one.
Well, he had a path, right? I mean, his path was starting in the State House. So, you know, you never know. And he was also young at one time. He's now my age. You're still young. So, I'm thinking about these things as I played airsoft all day yesterday. And today I'm like, oh, I can barely move. But that's the way it goes. Hey, before we get to anything else, you got a bill up today, right?
Yeah, I have a bill up at 9:15 in the House Public Integrities and Ethics Committee related to campaign disclosures on text messages in campaigns. So just it addresses the technology advances that we've had in campaign messaging, and you know, just make sure everybody knows where campaign text messages are coming from.
So just like how on a sign or whatever, it's got to identify the campaign, it would have to do that on a text message as well. Simple, right?
Yeah, simple, okay. Although with text messages, obviously the message is limited, so you can kind of link it with a URL or a hyperlink so that it doesn't take up, you know, half of your message.
Oh, well, see, I would say no to that because I don't ever click on links in texts ever just because of, you know, security concerns, and I don't know who these people are.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
So one of the questions I wanted to ask you, I know it's not in the House, but it is in the Senate. And if I'm honest, I'll tell you that the homeschool community is kind of losing their minds over this SB 86. And I don't mean that as a criticism. I mean, they're just very concerned about this SB 86, the Bright Futures Bill. You and I have talked about this before. It's gone through some revisions. The revisions are improvements, in my opinion. But this is a bill that currently has no House companion. And at this point in the process, is it likely to pick up a House companion, and is there any other way for it to pass, even if it goes through the whole Senate process?
Well, I mean, the policy can get amended on to any bill, but what I can tell you is that the chair of the Education Employment Committee, Chris LaValle, has said publicly that the House does not have a companion, and it's not something the House is currently working on. I believe it was well-intentioned. We're all trying to figure out a way to make sure that our technical colleges, state colleges, and universities are geared towards preparing students for actual jobs that are available in the market. But the method that was employed in, you know, SB 86 that you're talking about is probably not the right method, and it's not something the House is currently addressing or working on.
So I love the informational aspect, and you and I have talked about this before. I love the tell people what they can be likely be earning, tell people which careers lead to, which majors lead to careers, jobs, all of that. I love that kind of a concept. I think the problem here is the idea of people all of a sudden feel like they've been making plans for years on how to access Bright Futures dollars for their kids to go to college, and all of a sudden they felt like the rug got yanked out of them, or could be, and there was no certainty about anything anymore, and people are like, oh, my God, you know, we've been planning for years. So, I know you're aware of those concerns as well, but that's why I wanted to check with you on where that one is at. We also had a bill. I think you've got a bill coming up on Wednesday, the alimony and child support bill again. Is that right? That you tried last year and got passed but didn't get through what the House didn't get through the Senate last year or didn't get signed by the governor? What happened last year?
Yeah, so there are two separate bills. I'm running one bill related to child support. You know, specifically just helping the Department of Revenue collect child support fees, from individuals. It's a highly technical bill. It's really just an update, again, you know, acknowledging advances in technology and streamlining the process. I ran an alimony bill last year. I didn't personally have a bill slot for it this year. Someone else ran it, but they asked me to what's called prime co-sponsor it. Meaning I can present it along with them. Alimony is a tough issue. There's a lot of different components. It's you know, heavily technical as well. So I've been asked to help present it on Wednesday, this week. The main gist of it is just the same way we've always had kind of this framework in the child support context, which essentially eliminated litigation over child support in Florida. It's the same type of approach now for alimony. It would reduce the cost of litigation between parties. Everybody would kind of know what to expect going through the process, and it would save families hundreds of thousands of dollars in the process. So it's a bill that's often maligned and misunderstood, but it's a bill that would absolutely help families.
We also have a bill, and I was watching some of the meeting that took place the other day. It was the Judiciary Committee had their meeting where they were talking about the guns in schools affiliated with churches, or the other way around, yeah. I suppose. The guns in churches affiliated with schools. That passed in the committee pretty well. It's gone through some revisions. Jerry Williamson's running the bill. People say really nice things about Jerry Williamson at the State House, which is kind of always nice to hear that your guy is popular. Is that bill going to get through the Senate? Because that had been the hiccup in the past. Is this much more cautious, I would say, about Second Amendment protections? It's probably the most generous way to say it. Is that going to get through the Senate, though?
I think so. So the Senate companion to Rep. Williamson's bill is Senate Bill 498. It's actually passed through its first two committees. It only has one more committee stop to go. And it's sponsored by Joe Gruters, who is a very popular, well-liked senator. So I think it has a chance this year. It's important to note that after the Stoneman-Douglas bill in 2018, in session 2018, that bill essentially said that you can't have guns in schools, but because of the way it was drafted, any church with like a child care program on weekdays was suddenly barred from having any type of volunteer security team provide security at church events. And this is really just a technical fix to to allow churches to make their own decisions about how they want to, you know, defend their congregants. So it's a bill that makes sense. It's very limited in scope, and I think it's got a good chance of passing this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all have our views about whether guns should be in schools when kids are around, but the intent to protect kids from having guns around them in the school then gets applied against religious institutions that happen to use properties in a school or near a school, even when the kids aren't there or couldn't be there because it's some weekend thing, and that starts to be ridiculous, and that's an overreach or an overbrush. We're talking to Alex Andrade. He is our state representative for District 2. Alex, hang on for me for just a quick second. Let me get Davis Allen in here with Traffic on the Fives.
So if you're traveling westbound on I-10, we have an accident that is causing some extended delays. This is over in the Crestview area, but this is something worth noting that if you are traveling westbound and you're getting to Crestview, you're going to have to get off at Ferndon Boulevard and then take that westbound on Highway 90 the rest of the way. We do have some closures along I-10, so just a note this morning in case you need to go that way. Also, we have a minor accident now on Highway 98 through Windhaven Beach. This is over near the Hideaway Retreat. It looks like delays are getting better, though, and just keep in mind that going northbound on Garcon Point Bridge, it is also moving slower as people are heading to work this morning. I'm Davis Allen with the Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, Davis. Now back to Alex Andrade. Alex, we're about halfway through session. Something I sometimes like to ask around this point is we see a lot of bills get filed and people get all up in arms over these bills and then they never go anywhere. And so there's a lot of consternation over things that aren't going to happen. At the other end of the spectrum, things that maybe people aren't paying attention to that probably will go through and maybe are important in ways they don't understand. Is there anything like that on your radar right now that maybe hasn't gotten much attention? Maybe I've failed to notice or ask you about it, but is one that you think people ought to be paying attention to?
Oh man, there's plenty. I mean, we're doing a lot this year as kind of a counterbalance to our new president in the White House. Florida is a very large purple-ish state, but very conservative governed state. It is really kind of positioned to be the counterbalance to things going on in D.C. So there's any number of bills related to like data privacy, social media, what's going on and in state universities in Florida. We're doing a lot right now related to a lot of different policy. And I think over the next few years, you're really going to see Florida become more and more of the counterbalance to the federal government in that context. So
Those are a lot of those ones you mentioned are DeSantis initiatives, right? I mean, those are things like the citizenship test, which I love that idea. And, the push against social media companies, I'm perfectly fine with that and privacy stuff. So a lot of those are kind of ones that the governor's office is shepherding, right?
A lot of them are. The Florida House has a proposal right now in House Bill 5 to kind of highlight what makes America so special. It's a civics engagement type bill, but it also has a component that will feature stories of individuals who've come to the United States and made America their home. These are just incredible bills to try and address what we've seen in the past about, students coming out of school thinking that America is the worst country in the world. And, yeah. There's been kind of this new push to say socialism and communism might be a good idea. We have enough examples from history to show us that that's not the case. So what we're realizing is that this really isn't being taught in an appropriate way in schools. So just making sure that students understand what makes America so special, even with the dark points in our past. It's not like we haven't seen things like internment camps like Korematsu in World War II when we interned Japanese Americans or Jim Crow or slavery. But all of those ills that America's faced, we've been able to overcome by virtue of the fact that we have such a beautiful system, constitution, a federalist system that, gives 50 different states these kind of laboratories of experimentation. So, teaching that stuff in schools, I think, is a great idea. And
Yeah, the headline.
People were paying attention to it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think some of the headline on that was like the critical race theory comments by DeSantis, but that's just like one line. There's so much in that bill and so much that is really, really almost uncontroversial and so good, so pro-America, which is what I love about it. Well, Alex Andrade, he is our state representative for District 2. That's the southern half of Escambia County, Gulf Breeze, and Pensacola Beach. Alex, good luck today with your bill, and we'll look forward to talking to you again next week.
Thanks, Andrew. Have a good day.
You bet. 6:50 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. You know, I'm always talking about Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty, all the homes that they sell, loads and loads of homes, how quickly they sell above list price much of the time, you know, multiple offers. I mean, it's crazy, right? Again, we all know the market is a little bit to responsible for this, but you got to still know how to capitalize on it, and they certainly do. Well, they've done something in the last week or so that I just, if this doesn't prove the point, I don't know what is or what would. She says this: if you call her and you come to an agreement about the price to sell your home, you got to agree, okay? And not every home qualifies. I should tell you that in advance. But if your home qualifies and you guys agree about a price, she'll sell your home. You ready for this? In less than 2 weeks, or she'll pay you $5,000. You know how before we'd said she wouldn't take a seller's commission? She'll pay you $5,000. $5,000 if she doesn't sell your house within 2 weeks. Again, and she'll put that in writing, okay? So call her and find out the details. There are details, okay? Find them out. But that's just kind of where she's at in her confidence that she and her team at Levin Rinke Realty can sell your home for a good price. 723-9158, 723-9158. Average for a gallon of gas, 288 Florida, 290. Good Lord. It's bad. 579 in Essex, California. Dickinson, Texas has $1.99. Don't you wish you were there? In Navarre, 281 east at the Walmart, 275 west of the Walmart, 287 up 87. Ironic. In Gulf Breeze, 289 in Proper, 287 in Tiger Point, 281 at the foot of the Garcon Point Bridge, 288 in Milton at the Sefco, or is that the Raceway? Sorry, that's the Raceway before Avalon. 289 down Avalon, 287 in, at the Walmart and Pea Ridge, and 289 through Pace. Into Pensacola, looks like 279 at the Walmart. No, that, sorry, that's the Tom Thumb on 9 Mile, not the Walmart. 280 at the US 29 Walmart, the Murphy Station in front of the Walmart. And then coming in from the southwest side, the Navy Exchange has 275 and the TNC has 279 on Navy. 655, Mark Jacobs is not here. Cooper Davis in the newsroom with our headlines. Mark, or Coop, sorry. You got me all messed up with the sounder there. Go ahead. Nope. Cooper?
Not there.
Okay, all right, fair enough. Davis, how about time for a quick shot of sports?
Now, that I can do is we had ourselves, quite the weekend in sports, starting really with March Madness. We all know now that Florida, unfortunately, lost. Oral Roberts did take the victory, so actually a good thing, 15 seed, second time in history that has gone on to the Sweet 16. Also, Loyola Chicago continuing their good record with the tournament, beating
Thanks.
Illinois.
Thanks for that.
Also victorious, 11 seed Syracuse over West Virginia, Baylor, Arkansas, Houston, Villanova, and Oregon State, a 12 seed, all were victorious yesterday. Today, we have more games. Those games are going to include Oregon and Iowa, Oklahoma and Gonzaga, UCLA and Abilene Christian. Another good upset story there. Also LSU, Michigan, FSU, Colorado, Alabama, Maryland, and USC and Kansas all taking the court today. David Sound, quick shot. Now rolling this into your traffic.
You know what caught my attention, just
what?
To interrupt you for a second, is maybe it's this way often, but I noticed that there were at least three OSUs in the tournament. Oklahoma State, Oregon State, and Ohio State. Of course, Ohio State got beaten. I think Oregon beat Oklahoma State, right? Or vice versa, whichever. So
Oregon
one of them's
State
out.
Did, yes, they,
yeah.
did, they did.
So there's just one now. But it was interesting to me, as I was doing my bracket, I'm like, OSU. Wait, the other OSU. Go ahead, Davis. Traffic.
Yeah, Garcon Point Bridge is pretty delayed, especially if you're going southbound. Also northbound going out of Gulf Breeze, it is delayed. And once you get off the hump, it moves a little bit slower, but then you'll start to flow smoothly once you get through the toll plaza all the way to I-10. Also, we're seeing delays on Highway 98 as you're trying to go eastbound to get onto Garcon, backed up over near the Tiger Point Golf Course. And then back in Pensacola, I-10, I-110, flowing smoothly there. And no delays now at the front gate of NES Pensacola. And this report is brought to you by Knox Pest Control. Knox knocks them out. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
.658 Future News I-10 solution today. They say they're going to tell us what they're going to, it may be due this time, preserving the free roads that currently exist. Will that be a part of the plan, that the free I-10 road still exists?
Yes.
Yeah, I think they learned their lesson 2 years ago or 3 years ago, whenever that was. Highway 87, I-10, intersection control, maybe a light. Is that going to happen?
Yes, it will.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. How high will gas prices go?
I think we're going to see over $3.
I hate to say it, but yeah, I think that's inevitable at this point. 50 now is the minimum age. Max, when will it be everybody?
Next month.